On a courts issue, on the general civil courts, which applies to everybody regardless of your practice, we knew that there were issues related to remote proceedings during COVID on the other side of COVID. We saw a bill related to appellate redistricting that I will talk about, resurrection of a business courts bill that had failed at this point four times, and some other issues that, again, are collateral but related to everybody's practice out there. The first is the omnibus court creation bill, 3774. This is a bill that exists essentially every session that is an agreed kind of judicial creation bill, new district court, new municipal court, funding of judges in a certain county. All of those things exist in kind of this global bill. And it usually gets essentially agreed to and non-controversial. There are a couple things in here, for example, a mandate that the Supreme Court needs to issue rules relating to debtor exemptions against creditor claims. That lives in this bill. There are some changes to some JP practice there. And then in this bill, there was a section that was going to address remote proceedings on a go-forward basis. The remote proceedings question, that is, can we continue to conduct Zoom proceedings when the government code under which your district courts and county courts operate has language that the Supreme Court has been analyzing? I'm part of a task force under the Supreme Court Rules Advisory Committee as well, of the language which says a court shall meet in such and such county. And how do you reconcile the government code directive that creates the district courts and county courts of the state of Texas with what has become practice under the Supreme Court's emergency orders? Because recognize all of the emergency orders that the Supreme Court has issued are, again, under the government code section that has the governor's powers to edict a state of emergency, and which is a 254 county declaration related to COVID. And it is that declaration that has given the Supreme Court the ability to issue by judicial fiat order changes to the rules of procedure. So what happens when, if the court, the governor ever lifts the state of emergency related to COVID? The Supreme Court's authority regarding changing the rules will be lost. So this project is ongoing. And the question for you as constituencies out there in the civil justice system is, what do we want the court system to do and look like on the other side of COVID when it comes to remote proceedings? It's one thing to talk about remote proceedings in a hearing, in a minor prove-up, in a summary judgment hearing. But what are you doing when there's contested evidence? What are you doing when it comes to a jury trial? For example, the experiments going on in Travis and Bexar County. So all of those interact with some things that then touch on the court system during this session. One bill that got amended that we worked on was the MDL statute. The MDL statute now allows for judges who have lost, that is former and retired judges, to serve on the panel and also be appointed. This bill originally had a broadening of the jurisdiction of the MDL access beyond the federal system. It's modeled on the federal system. They wanted to change Texas to have an MDL system unlike anything else in the United States of America. But we got it brought back down to the question of common questions of fact. And so the jurisdiction of the MDL remains the same. You will see a constitutional amendment on the election ballot in November related to moving the district judge qualifications from 4 to 8 years. This will be a voter initiative. I'll remain kind of agnostic on the question, but this was part of a interim question regarding changing the way we select judges. That effort to kind of create a gubernatorial appointment system was essentially DOA on this for this session. And because it was, a lot of people who were involved in that conversation still had questions about qualifications. And so this kind of moved through the process relatively simply to move district court qualifications. That is a constitutional amendment, which would raise that qualification, and that will be on the ballot in November. I touched on remote proceedings, and this started as a standalone bill. And you all need to be aware of this for your practices going forward. OCA, that is the Office of Court Administration, has been unrepentant as a lobbyist. It has not been, in my opinion, I think if you watch the hearings, you would know, it's not a resource when it comes to this particular issue. It has an opinion. And that opinion is that remote proceedings, including civil jury trials, should become the norm in our system on the other side of COVID regardless. That raises a lot of concern for members of the bar on both sides of the bar. I've talked to a lot of my colleagues at TADC and others.